For today's episode, I'm in conversation with May Alaric. May was born and raised in Salamia, Syria, and is currently based in Ottawa, Canada. She just completed her master's degree in environmental engineering in Canada with her thesis research on sustainable solutions to provide safe drinking water for low-income communities living in remote areas as well as refugee camps. From my conversation with May, I could sense a lot of pain in her voice as she was telling her story, yet a lot of resiliency, courage, as well as positivity. I also want to take a moment to acknowledge the massive earthquake that struck Syria and Turkey earlier this month. I deeply empathize with the people there and send prayers their way. I hope this episode helps you look at war-torn countries from a new perspective. My goal for this episode was not to dwell on war and crisis because there's already so much narrative available for that. I just wanted to get to know Syria from a personal perspective of its culture, history, and people. So that's what I try doing. Hope it provides you some value.
Hi, May.
Hello.
Welcome to my podcast.
Thank you. Thanks for inviting me.
Yeah, I'm so glad to have you here. And I remember when we connected first, which was 2 years ago, I think during the pandemic. And for those who don't know, I was a part of WEDO, which is a network for women across South Asia. And it's basically a platform that allows women to get together and collaborate in many ways. And so that's how I basically got in touch with May. And we had one call, I think it was for an assignment. I don't remember what exactly it was for, but we had one video call, I think. And yeah, and I was so glad to hear a story. And then I was like, I have to have you on my podcast. So thankful that you're doing this and taking your time out of your day to speak with me today. Anyways, so I'll let you introduce yourself. Tell us about your background a little bit, where you come from, what you're doing right now, and just walk us through your story.
Yeah, first, thank you for inviting me. I'm happy to be here. And as for my background, so my name is May. In Arabic, it's pronounced as May. And I was born and brought up in Syria. And now I am based in Canada, in Ontario. Yeah.
And are you studying right now or are you done with your studies?
Yeah, I was doing my master's in environmental engineering and I just finished it. I completed everything in January, so a month ago. And now I have applied for post-graduation work permit and I'm working in the retail industry while searching for a job in my field.
That's exciting. So how's the trans? Like, how has it been for you after your degree ended and how's that like?
It's an interesting transition. It feels weird not to be a student because I've been a student for such a long time. Yeah, so it feels strange, but I think it's been a good transition. Yeah,
I completely agree with that because that's exactly how I felt when I was done with my master's degree. And then, it was just a huge switch, I feel, between that student life and getting to the professional ground. But yeah, I totally get related to that. So you said you were born in Syria, but you said that you also lived in Bangladesh for a little bit, right? So I just want to know, like, how was your life like in Syria before you came to Canada or before you moved to Bangladesh? And when you moved, like, why did you move for? If you could just tell us a little bit about that, it would be great.
Yeah, so I was born and raised in Syria, and then I moved to Bangladesh in 2014 to do my bachelor's, and I did my bachelor's at a university called Asian University for Women in Bangladesh. I finished it in 2018, and then I moved back to Syria. I spent a year there, and in September 2019, I moved to Canada for my master's. And my life in Syria was interesting. Growing up, it was really peaceful. I grew up in this small town called Salamia, and it's in the center of Syria with them. It's a pretty cool town. My family and I had like a pretty happy life. I had a good childhood. I was very close to my siblings, my cousins, and my classmates. It was pretty good. But then when the conflict started in 2011, things drastically changed, and they changed gradually, of course. They just kept on getting worse and worse. It became very unsafe to live there. And at the time when I moved out of Syria in 2014 to Bangladesh, it was very dangerous. It was very, very dangerous. I remember when I moved, I had this firm belief that within a month or so, the ISIS is going to take over my hometown, as it was very close by. It was progressing really fast. So I believe that they're going to take over my hometown and everybody's going to die and I will be the only survival from my family. Luckily, that did not happen. And they never managed to take my hometown, even though they got to take the surrounding villages. And they were always, sending suicide bombers or firing rockets or something like this to my hometown, which kept, we lost lots of lives from my hometown because of ISIS and other groups, armed groups that were fighting in the war in Syria, and they were trying to take over the city, and we lost lots of lives. So it's most Syrians who lived in Syria during the conflict would say the same thing, because the level of destruction and the number of lives that have been lost is indescribable. It's so massive, you just cannot describe it. So before I left to Bangladesh, I was in a very emergency state situation, as it was very, very unsafe. And then during my time in Bangladesh, it was like that too. I remember I would be giving my exams, I would be studying, but I can't focus because of how bad things are back home.
Right.
And then in 2018, when I moved back to Syria, the safety situation has gotten much, much better. So I spent a year in Syria before going to Canada. And so that year was so, so sad for me. It was such a, it was such a year of grief. And because I went back there after 4 years and I saw how my country have gotten so damaged. A lot of cities have completely vanished to the ground because they were completely destroyed. Many of my friends have either lost their lives or have immigrated. So when I went back to my city, I was looking for the friends I grew up with, for my cousins, for my family, and a lot of them were not there. And those who were there, you could see the sadness on their face. You could see how they were so hopeless. Everything has gotten, everything has changed. You could see that they were dead from the inside. And the economy has, of course, got hit really, really badly with, that scale of a war plus all the sanctions that are on Syria and all of that. The economy is so bad, and it's now much worse than it was in 2018. But even back then, it was very bad. People were, working as many jobs as they can. Every member of the family that's capable of work was working.
Yeah.
Still, people were barely managing to, get enough money to put food on the table or to pay the rent. Things were really bad. So it was a very, very difficult year. It was very hard for me to see this place that I grew up in and that I call home be in the state that it was. And
I can only imagine what it must have felt like. And so when you moved to Bangladesh, were your family still in Syria?
Yes, they were and they still are.
Okay, so how has it been for them right now? And you being here, does it worry you a little bit? How has the whole experience and the distance and dealing with all of the news and everything been for you?
It's very hard. It's very hard for me because, of course, I worry about them. I worry about, their safety and their ability to, manage enough. To get enough money, earn enough money to to survive. And recently there was this earthquake that Turkey and Syria that have like caused so much destruction in the region, and you know, thousands of people have lost their lives. Thousands are still buried under the rubble. We don't know about them, if they're, you know, alive or not. When that happened, that's like one of the events that, you know, I feel so hopeless. Like, you know, there are people that I really, really love and I really care about, including my family and my close friends. And, you know, it's also my country. Like, even if my family was not there, it's my home, right? Like, it's my home country. Of course, even if my family was not there, I would still feel bad. But I feel so hopeless. Like, you know, people that I really care about and I really want to see them happy and I want to see them thriving. When things like that happen, I worry so much about them and I feel that I can't do anything from here. All I can do is maybe give them a call and check on them and, you know, talk to them. Mm-hmm. But I cannot, you know, basic things, I cannot give them a hug. Like, that's a basic thing, right?
Yeah, so, absolutely. Yeah, I think it's, you know, I read about all these news and I see it in the media every day and it's just so heartbreaking just looking at it. And as like, although I have like literally no relations with Syria or whatever, but just as on a humanitarian level, I feel like whatever is happening right there, it's very unfortunate. And yeah, it just feels like I wish I could do something about that, but then what can you do exactly? And so, you know, as much as I'd love to learn how we could help, and I think you might have some insights for that as well. Probably get into that a little bit later. But we only see like one part of your country in the media. Like, it's always represented in a way that is like, it's a war-torn country. There's just a lot going on and a lot of violence and all that. But besides what's just shown in the media, what do you think there is in Syria? What other parts of Syria is never shown to the media or to the outside world that you think people need to know? Or because I personally would love to know more about Syria as a country, not as a war-torn area, but more like a country and a culture. Like, what is it like there? And I know that I've seen some videos, looks really beautiful actually, but I just wanted to know, what do you think people should know about Syria, like besides the war and everything negative? How would you explain Syria, like culture-wise, food-wise? Was there something that's good to know about Syria and their people?
Thank you for asking this question. And it's true that especially the people in our generation only know about the war in Syria, but it was not always a war zone. The war started in 2011. So even for me, I do remember the safe Syria. I remember the like Syria before the conflict. And I think this country has a lot to offer. It's a very old country. Like, it's called the cradle of civilization. It's where human civilization started in that region, you know? And cities like, for example, Aleppo, which is now destroyed because of the earthquake. Like, a lot of it is destroyed because of the earthquake and the conflict. It's over 10,000 years old. Mm-hmm. So it's a very old civilization. And of course, with an old civilization like this, it has a lot to offer. It's it has a lot of history. A lot of our human civilization came from that place, especially the start of it, you know, the start of human civilization. So it has a lot of history, a lot of really, really beautiful architecture and really beautiful historical places. I think if you're a history nerd, it will definitely interest you. And the people there, they are like, really, generally speaking, Syrians are really kind. They're so tired of war and all they want is peace. They're really kind people. They're very hospitable. They're very helpful. Whether you're a Syrian or you're not a Syrian, you can crash at anybody's house and you can just stay there. Like, you can, if you don't have a home to stay, you can just knock on their door and be like, I don't have a place to stay. Can I stay at your house? And they would be happy to welcome you. Even if you're not even a Syrian, you know, even if they don't know you, they would still welcome you. They would still give you food. So Syrians are very, like, very hospitable. They are very, it's a very collective community. So people really care about one another. They really try to support one another and, you know, be there for each other. And You can see that when you go there. You can see how people interact with one another. Syrians love to party. That's something I think people don't know about us.
Really?
But yeah.
Never knew that.
Yeah. We really love dancing. So every time there's a gathering, you know, more than five or more people, it's initially we start chatting, but I think 30 minutes to an hour into the gathering, music is playing and everyone's dancing. Wow. And yeah. So
what kind of dancing do you guys do?
So we have two most popular types of dancing. One is known as the belly dancing, and that's usually done by women. Yeah, and one is called dabke, and this people do regardless of their gender. Like, people of all genders can do dabke, and it's just the people gather in a circle and they dance in a circle like together. That's the dabke. Yeah, it's very fun. I personally love dancing too.
Yeah, me too. So anytime I dance, I'm like, yeah, I want to hear more about it. But that's interesting because I didn't know that. Because that's what I'm telling. Like, the media only shows like one part of the country, and it's not the whole story. And I always feel like there's always this missing narrative, and I do not even get to interact that much with Syrian immigrants. And whenever it is, it's always like talking about the war and the effects, but I think there's more to the country besides just that. And although that's a huge issue right now, but that's not the only thing that people should be taking away, and that there's more to the country and the people and the culture, which I'm really interested in, honestly. And I think that my interest really sparked when I watched this video. I don't know if you know her, but there's this YouTuber named Ava Zubek. So she goes to all these different countries that people haven't really visited. So I think I saw her video, which was like probably 3 years ago. She went to Syria, and then she went and she visited, I think it was Aleppo. Is that a capital, right?
The capital is Damascus, but I think Ava made like video about Aleppo, and she made one about Damascus.
Yes, Aleppo, yes. Yeah, and I loved her video. And then she... And people there were, like, as you said, really kind and welcoming. And I heard, like, she talked about how people were so welcoming because they don't see tourists coming in that much. And so they were, like, very happy to see someone. So, yeah, I think that video was really interesting. And I think for my listeners who do not know, you should go check out Ava Zubek. And, yeah, she has a great YouTube channel. I know she's one of my favorite travel content creator. Anyway, so... Yeah, thanks for sharing that. So what's the food like in Syria? Like, what kind of food? Is it more Middle Eastern, I guess?
Yeah, it is. So if you know food like hummus, falafel, shawarma. This is what we grew up eating. And of course, it has much more to offer than this, but that's the type of food we have. Like, we love our pita bread. We eat lots of pita, and most of our food is like plant-based. A lot of it is plant-based. And it's actually very, very good. Like, all of my friends here who have tried the food seem to like it. Like, my friends in Canada, they seem to like Syrian food. And I personally really miss it. I mean, whenever I eat it, I feel that it's like I am reviving a part of me, you know. I am reconnecting with my culture.
Yeah, absolutely. I think food is a huge part of any culture. And so do you make any things at home right now?
Yeah, I do make. I mean, I make a lot of Syrian food at home, as well as like other types of food. But yeah, a lot of Syrian.
Awesome. Okay, so you are in Canada, and you've been there for now, what, three, four years, right?
Yeah, so you moved 3.5 Yeah,
that's So it's been a while since you've been in Canada. So, how was the transition like for you to just come to Canada, and how has the overall experience been for you being in Canada?
It's an interesting experience. It's actually not what I thought it would be. I think my expectations were unrealistic. Yeah, so I moved here to do my master's, and it's been interesting because when I first moved here, I was so excited. I was so, you know, I was very, very excited. I felt, one, that I have escaped Syria, and two, that I'm going to, like, be building a life in a country that is very safe, very stable. It has lots of immigrants, so it's used to seeing people from different cultures, and it's really tolerant in that sense. And Canada is truly like that. It's a really, really good country to live in.
Yeah.
But I think with my experience, it's been difficult because I moved here like shortly before the pandemic started. And when the pandemic started, I didn't have that strong of a community here. So I was spending a lot of time by myself. And with that came all the grieving from the conflict that I could not grieve because, you know, I was I had lots of feelings about what happened in Syria. But because it was, you know, I was always in an emergency state, I never had the time and space to feel my feelings or to grieve, I think. And yeah, and that's when like all of that sunk in, and it made it really challenging to live here, and it made it very challenging to, you know, break my shell and go out and meet people and engage with people when all I was feeling is like overwhelming grief because of what happened in my country, yeah, and what is still happening, yeah. So I think that was like very important part of my experience in Canada. But other than that, it's a really good country. Like my my university, I studied at Carleton University. It was really supportive, really it was really good in terms of, you know, all the facilities for international students or for you know, women in the STEM field and all of that. It was, and the program was very strong. So I think the university was very good. And the city where I live in the capital, Ottawa. It's also like a very beautiful city. There are lots of natural spaces and lakes, and it's really beautiful. Yeah,
it does look beautiful in the pictures. So I was, you mentioned that your university was a huge help. So I was going to ask you that, are there any resources available for immigrants that come from your country or background like yours? Is there any support that you can receive at all from Canada or your university?
Yeah, that's where I'm saying like Canada is really amazing in that sense, because there's lots of support. Like at my university, there are lots of there's lots of support for, in terms of counseling, let's say, for students who are having like mental health issues or are not, you know, having difficult time. There's lots of accommodations for students with disabilities that I did not see in my country, because let's say here they are like in every bathroom, there's one for folks who are on a wheelchair, and they're like, the roads are, you know, accessible by wheelchair. The bus is, there's space for people on a wheelchair. And, you know, they have so many accommodations for people with both physical and mental disabilities. And that's something so amazing. Like in my country, we have lots of people who have been injured by the conflict. So we have lots of people with physical disabilities, of course, as well as mental, but we don't have that support. And when I came here and I saw it, it was so like heartwarming to see it. So I think it's it's very supportive. They have communities like for different you know, groups of immigrants. So they would have one for they do have ones for Syrians. They've got some for people from different backgrounds. And they also have, like at my university, they have an international student support office where the purpose of that office is to help students who are from, you know, international. So, yeah, there's lots of support.
That's great. Yeah, I think I feel like that's something that even I went through, like when you talked about, you know, having all these accessibility resources and stuff, because I don't think like as coming from a third world or developing country, it's not something that we see. And so when we transition to this a more well-off country and a developed country, then we see that these things are there, and we're like, oh yeah, I mean, this is something that even we should be having and we don't. And yeah, that's something that even I experienced. So with that, did you ever find anyone from Syria, or, you know, as someone from like similar to your background that you could confide to or share that, you know, conversation with? Did you ever meet anyone in Canada at all, or no?
Yeah, I do. I have met people like that. I am not very Yeah, I'm not very connected with the Syrians in my hometown because most of the connections I have are through my university experience. So a lot of them were through the lab because I was doing a thesis-based master's. So I was spending a lot of time in the lab doing research. So a lot of the people I met were through the lab, and they were not Syrians, but I did meet a few Syrians here, and it's very good to have them because when I talk about my experience to people who are from a different background, even if they're very kind and compassionate and they're trying to understand, they can never really comprehend the magnitude of my feelings or of what happened in Syria because they have not lived that, of course, right? So
Absolutely, yeah.
so I do have like few friends from my country, and it's very helpful to have them because they understand, like they can really understand when I speak about my feelings in regards to my country.
Yeah, that is great to know because I feel like, yeah, no matter how hard we try, if we are haven't experienced something like that, it's really hard to put in ourselves into that shoes and think from that perspective. So I think although we can empathize, we'll never fully get it. And I think it's so nice to have that community there and someone who also shares that experience and background. And yeah, it's a really good bonding experience as well as also confiding in someone. I think that really uses a lot of pain and gives you some sort of relief, I feel. And I'm glad that you have that. And yeah, that's great to know. So my next question for you is like, did you have any cultural shocks moment when you came to Canada?
Yeah, I had a lot of cultural shocks because Canada is very different, like just a really, really different culture. Yeah, so for instance, the snow, I don't know if that was like a cultural shock, but it was a big shock for me, the amount of like how cold it can get. Like when I was in Syria and I would read that it can go down to minus 40, I did not understand what that means because I never experienced such temperatures. Like it goes down maybe to minus 10 in Syria at a worst case scenario, but minus 40, I didn't even understand that. Yeah, so that was like a really big shock. But other than that, even with the culture, I think the way Canadians live and the way they interact with their environment is quite different than the way Syrians do. For instance, Canada is very individualistic country. Meanwhile, Syria is a very collective country. And because of that, I see that, people just live by themselves, after they finish after they finish their high school, a lot of them move out of their home and they get separated from their parents and they just want to be by themselves and with their friends. Meanwhile, with Syrians, we're very collective and we like to be in the community. We like to stay in the community. And yeah, even when given the option to leave, we want to be with the community most of the time. So that was like a really big cultural shock, I think. To see, let's say, I see lots of elderly on the bus by themselves, and I see them like struggling and to get around and all of that. And in my country, it's usually that the elderly will be accompanied by one of their family members, like a younger one who'll help them out. Yeah, but then here I see them by themselves, and initially I used to feel sad, but then I think this is how they like to live here, so.
No, I think I completely relate to that because I think that's something that even South Asian like communities are like that. So I think I've heard that from a lot of my friends and including me myself when I realized how individualistic this culture is. And yeah, because our culture is more community based and we value family and community and kind of prioritize that. But here people are just living their own lives. And yeah, so that's something that I think a lot of people coming from a background like ours can relate to as well. And yeah, totally agree. So I used to feel that way as well when I used to see old people by themselves doing grocery shopping and all. I'm like, oh, poor people, I wish they didn't have to do that by themselves. But yeah, I think it's something that they value, they like doing so. Anyways, yeah, so you talk about the weather in Syria. Like I was wondering, what's the weather like there? Is it more humid?
It's not that humid because it's more of a dry country, like the but then it would get like really hot during the summer. It's common to encounter like 40 degrees, even 50 degrees. You'd encounter it on some days, like extreme heat waves, and
Is
they're
it
becoming
Celsius or Fahrenheit? Sorry.
in Celsius. I don't know what it
Okay.
would be in Fahrenheit. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Well, after coming to the US, I'm always struggling between Celsius and Fahrenheit because I used to
Yeah.
do weather in Celsius and now I'm like getting used to Fahrenheit. So I always get
Yeah.
confused.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Luckily in Canada they do Celsius too, so it's easier for me.
Oh, okay. I didn't know
Yeah.
that.
Yeah,
Yeah, okay,
yeah.
sorry. I think only US is doing the Fahrenheit thing.
Yeah, it gets really hot in the summer. But then in the we do have like spring and fall where it's like really comfortable weather. In winter, it's usually like between 0 and 10 degrees, and on few days, like maybe 4 or 5 days of the winter, it will be below 0 degrees.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's more of a moderate temperature, I would say. Maybe moderate for me because I grew up there, so that's like the normal for me.
That's
Yeah.
a little bit higher for me because I was like, that's hot. That's a hot
Yeah.
temperature. Yeah.
It's
That's
like
great.
that. Yeah.
Anyway, so have you been outside of Ottawa at all? Did you get a chance to travel?
Yeah, I got to go around to like few cities that are nearby. Yeah, like Montreal and Toronto.
Did you
Yeah.
like it? Did you like I really want to go to Montreal because for a lot of reasons, but how did you, which was your favorite place that you went to?
I love Montreal. It's such a beautiful city.
Yeah.
Yeah, with Ottawa and I think lots of North American cities, I feel that they don't have their own like unique character. They all look the same, same stores that are like, franchises. They're the same everywhere, same type of buildings. It
More
just
suburban feeling.
it just looks pretty similar. Like you go from one city to the other and they look very similar.
Yeah.
But then Montreal has its own like unique architecture, and that's like more European architecture, and it has its unique vibe that you can, it has a it's a city with a character, and that's really beautiful to see. I really like the vibes over there. It's very European, and they have like really they have really good food, and it's very beautiful, and I think and it's really beautiful to see. Yeah, I would say if you go there, go to the like old town or maybe to the gay village, and it's really beautiful. Yeah.
Yeah, I know. I've seen a lot of videos as well as pictures, and it's been on my list. And I really want to visit Montreal one day, and hopefully we can make it. Let's see. But anyways, okay. So, what would you say? Like, what is something that you really miss about like your home? And besides your family, is there something specific like food or any specific thing that you really miss about home?
I miss the food a lot, and I think other than the food, I miss the sense of community. That's something that is lacking here, of course, and I really miss like that type of community where people are just all the time. I would say Syrians, especially Syrian families are always there for you, but also always there. So it has its pros and cons, but I really miss it at this point. Like I miss having that sense of community that's really strong there, and I miss the, I miss the air. I miss so many things because I've been away for so long. I miss the air. I miss how it's like it feels to be to hear the noises, to hear the like people chatting in my language. I miss walking out in the street and looking at people playing board games on like sitting outside their shops with like a small table playing board games and drinking black tea and smoking shisha maybe sometimes, and I really miss that. I miss walking around the streets and smelling jasmine because people really like jasmine there, so every house has like a jasmine plant. That's like many jasmine plants, so you smell that while you're walking in the street. I really miss that.
That sounds beautiful. When you just start saying those things, I could just imagine, and I was like, that sounds so beautiful.
Yeah.
I just want to be there too.
It's it's a very lively country. Like, conflict aside, it's very, very vibrant, very lively. There's lots of, you know, people are just gathered in front of their shops in the street. They're chatting with their neighbors. They're, you know, drinking black tea all the time. So they're doing that. And then, kids are running around laughing and playing in the road. And it's very, very vibrant. Like, it's with Canada, I feel that because there is less population and there is more space, you don't see that much of, you know, the streets are not that busy. You don't see that many people. Yeah. People don't interact with each other as much as Syrians do, because people here are more individualistic. But there, it's very vibrant, like very full of life, you know?
Yeah. See, this is the thing that I feel is missing. Mm-hmm. And yeah, thanks for sharing that. Just warmed my heart up for some reason. I was like, I can just imagine myself walking in the streets and smelling the jasmine. Sounds like a story or something. So what would you say, like, for people listening, what messages do you want to give to people? Like, for anyone who wants to help, or is there any way that, you know, we can provide support or show support in any ways? How do you think that can be done? Is there a way that can be done at all? Is there any way that we can help you, like, as just on a humanitarian level, as people? And yeah, just if you have any messages to share to our listeners.
Yeah, I would say, like, something that's really important is that to, you know, I know all of us understand it logically when we think about it. Like, when I say Syrians are humans, everyone is like, yes, they're humans. But then I think to just sit and think, like, compassionately, that these are humans like me, like you, like everyone else. They're just humans, regardless of the geographical location they were born in, regardless of their skin tone or what faith they believe in, if they have a faith. Regardless of that, they are, at the very basic level, they're humans like me and you and like everyone, humans with hopes and dreams and things they look forward to, fathers with little kids that they work all day to come back home and hug, you know, in the evening, mothers, sisters. They have, like, maybe they're in a couple and they are in love with someone. They have their dreams. They work really hard for something. They're humans like me and you, with our little human aspirations and human problems, you know? And that's the most fundamental thing, that when you look at them and you see that, oh, these people are, I don't know, they're going as refugees. Remember that no one would put their children on a boat unless they think that water is safer than land. And there's someone who said that. I don't remember whom this quote is attributed to. But remember that for you, imagine that you would reach a level where you would leave the country that you and your parents and your ancestors grew up in and they lived their whole life in, and you would leave all of that and run away, like, with just the clothes that you have. Leave everything behind, all of your life behind, to a country where you know nobody, with a totally different culture. You don't know what's there to expect. You don't speak the language, and you would take this very dangerous, like, you would run by land, like, you would go by land, and you take this very dangerous boat journey where most of the boats actually sink and people die, to go to a country and to become a refugee there, to be a stigmatized refugee, because the word is very stigmatized, right? You would do that. Or imagine how hard it has to be for you to stay in your country, for you to make this decision that you're gonna leave everything behind and go into this very unknown. Or a lot of the refugees actually live in tents. Like, there are refugees who live in Europe in, like, houses. But a lot of refugees actually, like, most of the refugees, they live in literal tents, you know? Just tents with no heating. They earn very little. They're, if they earn any, because a lot of them are not even legally allowed to work, like in Turkey, or They a lot of the refugees don't have the permit to work, so they cannot legally work. So I think it's really important that when you see Syrians suffering, or when you think that, oh, these these people are coming to my country and they are occupying a lot of space and they're taking away the jobs. Think that these people, how hard their life has been, that has pushed them to make this decision to abandon everything they have to live this life, to come to your country and to become refugees. And, you know, when you see how the situation is in Syria and you see people killing one another, think that those are humans. They're not just like, no one just wants to go and kill someone else. Think that they are humans who have been, you know, put in a situation of a war that's much bigger than them. That's much bigger than them to stop, because a lot of Syrians are, most Syrians are tired. They're just so tired of all this war and all this fighting, and all they want is peace. All they want is to live a peaceful life, to be able to have the opportunity to have a life, you know. And, you know, it's very, very hard in this day to be Syrian, but you never know. Maybe 100 years from now, something like that can happen in your country, like an earthquake, for example. It can happen anywhere in the world, or even wars. There's no country that have never had a civil war. Most countries have. And remember that you could be in their place. Just think that they're basic human beings like you, you know?
Yeah.
And, yeah, I think that's something that's very important. And as for ways to help, you can donate. There are lots of organizations that are working on the ground, and you can donate to them, especially now with the earthquake that's happening. Yeah. People really need help. Like more than 80% of Syrians living in Syria were already living in poverty. And imagine that. On top of that, to lose your house and to lose all of your family members and everything you have and end up on the street, that's so tough, right? So, yeah, you can donate. There are organizations like in Canada, the Canadian Red Cross is accepting donations and is helping the Red Cross in Syria to with like emergency relief efforts. So you can donate to some organizations, or if you have Syrians in your hometown or nearby, maybe there's a business that's run by a Syrian, try to give it a try to go and visit. Let's say if it's a restaurant, try to go and have food once or twice at that restaurant, or if they're selling something, maybe buy from them and see if you like it. And most importantly, just be kind with them, because these people have already endured so much in their life, and they live every day, they wake up every day knowing that their country is going through a very hard time and their family is going through a very hard time. So just be kind to them.
Absolutely. Yeah. Thanks for sharing all that, and I absolutely agree. I feel like after like moving to the US and meeting so many people from across different cultural backgrounds, I feel like at the end of the day, we're all humans. We all have similar things that we do, and there's always a common ground that you can find. And no matter if we do things differently, we are always going to have like the basic things that we all of us do, regardless of our culture, background, religion, sex, whatever. I feel like empathy and kindness is so hard to practice, and that people sometimes just see this whole refugee crisis as just like one problem, and I think people sometimes forget that there are actually people with families and stories of their own and having lived lives, and these are actually people. And so I think it's so easy to forget all that and see it as like a one huge problem for the world, and it just becomes a problem and just becomes a crisis, because I think again, like the media and news and everything just puts it that way. And I feel people just need to break through that and try to connect to the people behind those words, refugees. They are people. And I think that's what we need to remember at the end of the day, and to realize that, you know, there's the most we can do is just be kind, be nice, and, you know, help and empathize in any way that possible. I used to do a little bit of work for refugee crisis for a little bit. So I wrote a lot of articles and stories about it, and I did a little bit of research. And I'm actually, this whole issue is kind of close to my heart in a lot of ways, because I felt like after reading all those horrible stories of people and, you know, how they escaped war and everything, I feel like I have a soft corner for them. And I feel like there's just, this is like a whole mountain that there's just so much to unpack, honestly. But, and I don't want to get into too much into details, but I think as on an individual level, I think the way, the most we can do is be nice if we ever meet one, someone that has come from a difficult background, and just try to be nice and empathize and just hear them out. And yeah, I think that's the most that we can do as humans. And
I think sometimes, I'm sorry to interrupt, but I think sometimes we look at people and we, you know, it happens to everyone that you look at someone and you see that they look different, they dress different, they speak a different language, or maybe they have an accent if they're speaking to you in English, they have a weird accent, and you think, okay, they are different from me, they're like, you know, others. So we have this ability to other people, and that's really harmful. That's harmful for us, because this way we're losing the opportunity to meet and interact with someone who is much more than the skin that they were born into. And they are a human, and maybe they would be like really cool people that you would want to become friends with. And you, this way, like, you're losing an opportunity, and they're also losing an opportunity to integrate into this community and to become part of it. And they would love that. Of course, they would love to build a home, because, you know, me, I feel that even though I say that Syria is my home country, because of the situation it is in, because I don't feel safe to go back to it, I feel that I don't have a home, and I have a very, very strong desire to build a home in Canada, to contribute to this country, to contribute to its, you know, well-being, and to be an active part of it, because I feel that this country have welcomed me while my country could not host me, you know, and it has accepted me. And because I've had a positive experience in Canada, I feel a very strong desire to give back and to contribute to this country and to be, a good resident of Canada. And I think you can do that, and you can, you know, if you're kind to these people, you will, and you give them a chance to get to know them, you realize that underneath this skin, under, we are all the same, you know, we are all basic human beings with basic desires and hopes, and we're pretty much, you know, more or less the same.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I think there's always so much to learn from a different culture. And I find it so, I don't understand why people, I can understand it, because for some people it can be intimidating, but for me it's more like a learning experience. So I'm always excited when I meet someone that speaks a different language or comes from a country that I've never heard of before. I think I'm always excited to learn about their culture and their food and whatever. So yeah.
It is. Yeah, it's like it gets me curious and excited, right? Like, to get to know people. And that's a special opportunity we have living in countries like US and Canada, where we can meet people from different cultures, and it's very exciting.
Absolutely.
Yeah. For example, I love Nepalese like momos or dumplings.
Yeah.
Yes, I think there's a lot to, you know, that you can gain from interacting with people from different cultures.
This is the way to live life. Like, I think because we are on planet Earth, like, everybody should be curious about each other and exchange culture whenever possible. And I think that's the way to live life. And I don't think that being in one particular culture and country your entire life it's not exciting. It's not, you know, you don't learn much. And I think I'd rather just meet new people from all across all different backgrounds and just learn about their country and, if possible, interact to them with their language. So I don't know if that's gonna happen. But speaking of language, so I know that Syria's main language is Arabic, if I'm not wrong.
Yeah, it is.
So can you teach any word or any sentence that you find you like in Arabic to us?
I'm gonna maybe teach you how to say hello. In Syria, we usually use the word marhaba.
I think I've heard that before.
Yeah, and it's also Turkish. Yeah. It literally translates to God is love, but it's the word we say as greeting, you know. And and so now if you meet a Syrian, you can greet them in their language, or a Turkish, because it's also used in Turkey. Yeah.
How do you say how are you today or something like that?
If you're talking to a to a guy, you would say kifak.
Kifak.
Yeah. Or if you're talking to a girl, you would say kifak.
Kifak.
Yeah.
Just fak and fak.
Yeah. and and the answer is usually tamam, which means
tamam.
Yeah, which means good.
Amazing. Arabic is definitely on the list of the languages that I want to learn. It's really difficult from what I've known so far, but I'm so like curious about the language. And yeah, it would be nice to learn it someday. And maybe one day I can just interact with you in Arabic. We'll see.
Yeah. I'd love that. And if you love poetry, we've got lots of like a really cool poetry in Arabic. Then.
I'm familiar with this. I had a friend from Saudi Arabia, so he taught me a few things about Arabic.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm familiar with that. Yeah. Anyways, thank you so much for sharing all of this. It was such a pleasure talking to you. And I'm so glad that you could finally make it to my podcast. And I really hope that my audience were as, like, they could take away as much as I did from this conversation. And feel free to share anything if you want to, I don't know, your final messages, or if you want people to reach out to you in any way, feel free to do that.
Well, I want to thank you so much for having me here today, and for being interested in hearing my story and hearing the stories of other people who come to this country and how their life is. That's very exciting for me to like to see people who are interested in hearing like unconventional stories like mine. So I want to thank you a lot, and I want to thank the listeners too for taking the time to listen. And I really appreciate that, and we really need more people in this world who are doing the work you're doing, who are breaking down the barriers between people from different cultures, and showing that we're regardless of the unique stories we have, we're basically all basic humans. Yeah,
that's the gist of this whole podcast. And I'm so glad that you could take over that. Thank you so much for all the listeners again, and I'll see you again in the next episode. Until then, take care. Bye.